Hello and welcome to a new episode of our podcast, Beyond Core, the podcast for business leaders who dare to think beyond today's success and build a future. As you know, in every episode, we dive deep into strategies and ventures of established companies and how they build new businesses based on AI and entrepreneurial execution. Our guests are industry leaders and pioneers who are shaping what's next. And today we will explore how AI is redefining German family businesses, the so-called Mittelstand, and our hidden champions. And our guest today is a special guest. It's Henrike, founder from the corporate venture builder Bridgemaker and one of the biggest venture builders here in Germany. So we are kind of competitors, but I think we are bringing different angles together here. And it's always a very fruitful discussion for our audience. And also important to know is that Henrike is co-author of the book, The Secrets of German Family Businesses, and have spent years researching and advising organizations on topics like venture building. Hello, Henrike.
Hi, and welcome, and thank you for having me.
Before we go into the topic, please, can you share kind of a short introduction to our audience, who you are, what is Bridgemaker, and what are you doing?
Yeah, I think the basis when it all started with my mission with Bridgemaker is I was in succession planning, and I was mediating some generation topics in family-owned businesses. And then also got some insights in the topic, how we can make them future-proof, what's their new innovation model. And then I founded my own company, and then I went into consultancy. And then 10 years ago in Berlin, I started Bridgemaker. And as you just said, we started as a venture builder. And then I think with the mission to make these companies, family-owned businesses, German Mittelstand future-proof and help them with some innovation tools from venture building. And today we are also advising, since innovation is coming more closely to the core lately, we are also advising on AI technologies, AI strategies, but then also implementing and building real AI products and also value creation in some private equity companies.
Very good. So it's a broad field, and with 10 years, so your company is twice as old as ours. So I assume you have a lot of good stories to talk about today. But first of all, I mentioned also you are co-author of the book, The Secrets of German Family Businesses. Maybe you can share a little bit, what was your contribution to the book and what was your kind of chapter about?
So I'm like on several advisory boards in family-owned businesses and also replacing some advisory board members. And that was also my role in that book, like really bringing together, since it's like the one part is there are 50 profiles or portraits of family-owned business book, really coming from their mission statement, their strategies, how they transform, how old are they, like really this claim from tradition to innovation. And then we also have different essays in this book. And my part was to write an essay, how AI is redefining family-owned businesses. So how can family businesses apply AI in different use cases from automation, but also I think that's the beauty then coming to new business model, helping with AI technologies.
And but there's also secrets around German family businesses. So what makes them the hidden champions of our industries and why they are successful? And sometimes they talk about there's a long-term orientation. They are kind of founder-driven, and with this long-term orientation, they can also long-term investments, maybe have a bit more patience in building up ventures. So what are your takeaways from those, from this book as well, from the other chapters?
Yeah, I think what you just mentioned, and I think that's the basis number one, it's this long-term orientation, right? It's based on They have sometimes like a strategic goal in mind, which lasts longer than maybe in other companies, which are like capital markets, or also when you have a management and this is changing. But in family businesses, you have a long-term orientation. I think this is basically number one. What is also a secret is they have really good customer relationships, which last for years. So you can also rely on data, for example, which is there. But on the other hand side, it's also like a very personal relationship, which they have in this customer relationship. And then, of course, it's on the one national excellence, but of course, especially in Germany, we have like this engineering excellence, which lasts for years. And I think this is just like two or three examples what make them special.
Very true. So I also see this in our relationship, this engineering excellence, planning in detail, construction in detail, everything works, high quality standards, etc. Now we talk about AI and the impact of AI, and it's about 1,000 days ago since ChatGPT moment arrived in the world. Everybody's now using a kind of a LLM, making part of their business. But they also need to think about new business models. So how do you see those strengths of the German Mittelstand, of the hidden champions, like long-term orientation, customer relationship, blah, blah, blah? How does it relate also into the AI era?
I think when we come back to these three advantages and then I make an overall conclusion, it's like if you say long-term orientation, but I think we have to take an eye on that we are faster in decision making also, because we have like other data points to make faster decisions due to AI. I think this is really important that we remind ourselves to be quicker in that. And I think especially family businesses, since they are often controlled only by the family, it's able to do this faster decision making. And also with the customer relationships, for example, we have data driven perception. So we can like make products and services more individual. So this is also something I think we have to keep an eye on. Also engineering excellence. It's also, we make products, for example, smarter. So, and I think in general, when it comes to AI, the question is how fast we learn and how fast can we adapt in this era of AI now.
So this also needs to then translate into the products and services. It's not just about automation of internal processes. So like, yes, we use AI to make quicker decisions, but also, as you mentioned, we want to build maybe more personalized products or individualized products and services. And therefore, we also need to adapt our processes and our thinking about the product itself.
Yeah, I think the automation, it's just a necessity. So it's a duty we all have to do. I come to that in a minute. But I think the beauty or the advantage is beyond core. So, and that's why I also liked the name of your podcast and also your thinking about that. It's beyond core, because this makes the differentiation and this also defines new USP of the products and the company. So for example, everybody has to start, I think, at automation to increase the efficiency, to be to be faster. And we can also talk about some examples in a minute if you want. But then it's really beyond core, based on new data insights. For example, how can we use, like, for example, infrastructure from the big giants, like LLM systems or something, and then enrich them or increase them with our or with the proprietary data which every Mittelstand company has.
Hi. Unsere erste Masterclass zum Thema KI, Business Transformation, war ein richtig, richtig großer Erfolg. Wir hatten eine mega Resonanz, viel mehr Anmeldungen als Teilnehmer, die wir zulassen konnten. Und deshalb haben wir uns entschieden, auch eine zweite durchzuführen. Und zwar auch speziell für die IT-Branche, weil wir merken, dass gerade KI einen großen Impact auf diese Branche hat. Und es natürlich wichtig ist, sich jetzt rechtzeitig Gedanken zu machen, was wird mit der Branche passieren, wie werden sich Branchenlogiken eventuell verschieben und was ist jetzt zu tun, damit man ein Geschäftsmodell aufbaut, was morgen und auch in dieser Agentic Era auch wichtig ist. Also das Thema Automation allein reicht nicht aus. Man muss sich wirklich drüber nachdenken und Gedanken machen, wie wird die Branche sich verändern. Wir nennen das Ganze Reshuffle, wie werden die Logiken sich verändern und welche Ansätze gibt es dafür, welche Best Practices sind jetzt schon sichtbar, welche Tools gibt es auch, die man mitnehmen kann, um sich in seine Strategie auch zu vertiefen und da entsprechend auch Gedanken zu machen. All das dann am 11.06. in unserer Masterclass, ganz speziell IT-Branche, hier bei uns im AI Lab. Yeah, and examples are always good because it makes it more tangible for the audience to understand what we mean by that. So yeah, do you have an example at hand?
I think beyond core or in the core, this is just the first framework. And then when we come to maybe one intersection of framework, and then I come to an example, we are always talking about innovation horizons. And when we start at innovation horizon one, this is close to the core. And I already mentioned that some of the innovation initiatives go closer to the core at the moment. And then you have a second innovation horizon, which is a mixture. And then the third, it's really like innovative new business model in a way. And I think the automation, it's like starting with innovation horizon one. And for example, really think about what you can automate. So, and for example, when I look at our own efforts, which we did there, I was thinking like 3 to 4 years ago, how can we automate everything which could be automated? So really, that was also my mission that I said, like, and that was the goal. Think about every process we do and then automate it. And same as you just mentioned, we were in the incubation field. We are brainstorming ideas. We are conducting a lot of trend analysis and all of that. So starting that and then validating business model, and even especially these first phases where you have a lot of data, where you have repetitive tasks, this is ideal to automate. And then it was that we founded our own AI like database for innovative ideas called Tautium. So this was really like an automation process. And this was for me personally kind of strategic move, because we cannibalized ourselves and we cannibalized our work at the beginning. But I knew right now, or even a year ago, AI would do this anyway. So I wanted to be on the forefront of our innovation, services. And really, that's why I took the decision, strategic decision back then to automate that. When I do a conclusion right now, I think we built too much ourselves, but maybe this is also we can talk later about where to buy, when build, and then also when only adapt. But this was something in our own field what we recognized. And then, for example, automation of procurement disease, for example, when we think about how much time it's spent when there is a question from a customer, like an incoming question or an inbound. And then the database is running, calculating prices, sending out a proposal, something like that. And this can really be automated in different workflows with AI agents, like back to back, and really do it in kind of a system. And then really think about this free human capacity, what you have there, what you can do with that.
Yeah, there are multiple very good points you mentioned here. So it's a little bit like ambidextrous approach here, right? So you need to apply AI in processes, I mean, to drive efficiency, to drive automation, but also to learn. I mean, this is a safe space when you apply it in your own processes. Then you can also a little bit like play around, you prototype things, you can fail, but you can also get familiar with the technology and the capabilities. But then the other part is also, as you said, beyond core thinking long term. How is the impact to our business model and what else can be, or what other business models we should build based on AI? It's maybe also a bit like a succession strategy, right? So, I mean, you need to think about it, the future and what the future holds. So you need to feel the urgency to build something for the next generation or for the next months, for the next weeks, for the whatever, how fast AI is. So in your conversations with the Mittelstand, with the companies, how do you sense how big the urgency is to think beyond and building new AI-based services?
I think it's pretty urgent in general to think about, because what I also realized, and I just mentioned in our own, so we build it up from our own, but the development of these big tech giants, for example, this is a commodity, right? So the infrastructure which you can use to build then your own model on it, this is a commodity. And I think we are just on the starting point of all this technology. So it will be maybe faster, it will be smarter doing that. So I really have to think about what is commodity, what can other people do better, and but what is really my USP in that, and how can I apply this, for example, for better products. So for example, in another company we are working with, we implemented an AI-driven market radar. So it's a consumer-based company, And we are looking about, for example, nutrition trends. And then based on that, and also on the customer insight, what they are looking, for example, what they're scrolling, what they're looking for content, which blogs they're reading, so what they're interested in. And then we use these data to, innovate new products with it, new product combinations, for example, and then send it out develop this and have this have the market's insights like in real time.
Yeah, this is a good example. I can also add one example. We worked together with a bigger retail company and they had an internal consultancy or an external consulting service. So external partners could hire the consultants from the retail company to help them to improve margin and growth and stuff like that. And then they thought about, this is hard to scale. I mean, have consultants, it's kind of a linear business. So you need to hire more consultants and then you can offer more to the world out there, to your customers. So it's hard to scale. So why not creating kind of virtual consultants based on our expertise from the real consultants or from the human consultants? So they are not replaced, but they are now kind of duplicated and you can duplicate them 10,000 times. And now you have the ability, the capability to offer this consulting service to the whole market at once to a smaller price. But for you as a company, it's hugely scalable. And your previous consultants, the human consultants, they are not kind of continuing their job as a consultant, but they are kind of supervising their new AI agent colleagues and train them and supervise them and maybe supervising also the projects a little bit. So they are all getting a new role. So it's really thinking about turning your assets into maybe services and products.
And maybe with this, to add to that, since we both are like validating new business models, right? Innovating, but then also validating. It's this, I think what's really special about this, like testing things, it's this virtual persona, not only virtual consultant, what you just said, but it starts earlier, virtual persona. And what I mean with that, it's like a testing scenario. So you can conduct like a lot of data combinations and a lot of new product combinations. And then with an AI dialogue, for example, with a chatbot, you can simulate a lot of like different product and service combinations. And then you get really in real time also the feedback. So it's much more precise. And especially when it comes to our history, we called the clients, we are in the field, we always tested the customer perspective on this, sometimes even not existing products. And this is now like in real time and in a much shorter and much cheaper combination possible due to this like virtual personas testing ground.
And it's also absolutely required with AI and the new capabilities, you can also wipe code a lot of products and services much, much faster. So I say now everybody has the option to build shitty services and shitty products. So it's not just you can build it faster, but now you can also increase the amount of bad ideas and bad products. So the importance of validating them, maybe not with humans only, but also in a way that you use synthetic users, synthetic customers, etc. But the point you need to validate becomes even more important because, you don't want to produce more and more of bad products and services. You want to be the real ones faster. So absolutely good point by you.
It's also because the customer expectations are increasing, right? Because it's what you said, like building a basic product, but it can do it much easier. So the differentiation and really the diversification of the product and service portfolio of the companies, it's becoming much more important.
Yeah, exactly. There are also a lot of well-known services like predictive maintenance, etc. It's kind of common standard right now in the industries, but since 10 years, I would say, since the whole topic of IoT came up and everybody understood, okay, this is also a huge topic and everybody's talking about predictive maintenance. But do you see also other options, other services beyond predictive maintenance? Because this is very obvious and it's kind of, it's common standard already. But what else could the Mittelstand work on?
I think predictive maintenance is not enough anymore because what you just said, right? I can maintain better, and then I can, even before an accident happened, for example, I can intervene in a way. So I'm coming from this like pull to a push, but I think that's not even enough because this is just the knowledge that something has happened. I think the automation there has to go even beyond that, that it's not a prediction, but it's also happening in action automatically. So, for example, Siemens is using AI directly on a machine with edge computing, for example, which goes directly in the Siemens quoting app. And then the action, so if there is this intervention, the action is happened immediately, like automatically something is like, yeah, due to AI, it has to become a better outcome. So I think the maintenance and the prediction is one thing, but it has to be topped up, I would say, with immediately actions, which are, yeah, like doing, or for example, another like very basic, but when it comes to logistics, fleet management, for example, if you have the real-time data, for example, where queue is or something, or where there is a blocked road or something, that is, it's in real time, it's a rerouting of these trucks, for example. And it's like you don't have the human in the loop, it's automatically like activating a different thing. So I think, like, in to sum it up, like in predictive maintenance, really think about what you just said, we have it for years, but really think about how can I make it even better and how can I even improve it?
Yeah. And this is also a huge topic right now when you look into the Silicon Valley and wherever people are working on AI, the huge topic of self-evolving systems. So it's not just like adapting a bit, but in applying what I learned, but also changing the system based on what I learned. So in the history, we went back to our IT department and said, I need this feature. And then they started to work on the new feature. And then months later, you have this feature. But now you build systems which are kind of learning from the usage of the user or maybe other data points and then prove the whole usability, the whole features itself by themselves. So you don't need to go back to the IT department. And this whole self-evolving topic, this is really fascinating at the moment. And I mean, the Mittelstand, they have a lot of knowledge, they have a lot of expertise and a lot of data points. I mean, they are kind of well equipped for this kind of new thinking, right?
Yeah, I would also say that, but maybe two things to that. When it comes to like yeah, the business model, it could also be a thing to think about, how can I monetize my data? So what data do I have, and can I maybe use it, of course, without names, like anonymous, sell this data, for example. This is one thing which we look in several projects at, how that, but what you just mentioned it, I think it's also like a risk in the data structure because we can do a lot with new combinations and AI, and we can either use existing database and don't train them, or we can train them. But the thing is that every company, especially company, have to look at the quality of data which is there, because shit in, shit out, I would say. First, I really, and that's why what we often do, we really have to look at the data. How is the existing data there? So, for example, we have one of our standardized products is commercial OS, so commercial operating system, where we like automize commercial tasks, sale tasks, marketing tasks, content tasks, all of that. But it always starts with either CRM or with the ERP system of the company. And then we apply like existing tools around that. But we always have to start with the quality of the core, because if this is not sufficient, of course, everything which comes later, then applying existing tools, maybe produce some content, maybe have automated email campaigns, but also like conducting proposals with the existing pricing database. But it's always like, yeah, you have to check your data first.
Yeah, this is the homework you have to do, right? So to prepare it, and companies which have done this in the last 10 years properly, they are in a better shape right now, in a better situation compared to the other ones. We also said that the Mittelstand, they have huge expertise. Yeah? They care about their employees, and the employees, they love to work for the Mittelstand, for their companies, because they are owner-driven and long-term orientation and points like this. And so the employees, they have a lot of knowledge. They are experts in their field, like German engineering and quality and stuff like that. How does it relate to AI? So how could maybe the Mittelstand leverage the expertise they have in the people, in the humans, and leverage it together with AI? And so not replacing the humans, saying, oh, thank you very much for the last 10, 20 years. Now we continue without you. Now we have AI. It's more about how could a really good combination look like? So building on the strengths you have and leveraging AI.
I think one of the key points there is that you have access to this knowledge, right? That you can conduct it, that you take it out, for example, out of this, like humans. So for example, when somebody is not working for the company anymore or is retired or even just is sick somehow, you can like build better systems to get this knowledge or make this knowledge accessible, right? This is one point. And the other point is also, and this is really critical when you want to come from pilot projects with AI, some prototypes, really into standardized products, but even more into the integration and the rollout and the transformation. And there, the key success factor is that you educate your employees in a way that they are really using what you have with AI in your company. So we try really, so for example, within our revenue model, we always had something which is related to the success of the outcome, what we do. So for example, when it comes to the employees, we have like a milestone or a KPI, which is really like the adoption rate of every employee. And as I mentioned, it's not only the, you can say like younger, older, more experienced, not, it's really like an effort which you have to do like in the whole company, right? And this is really critical if you want to roll out an AI initiative like for the whole company.
I also see it in a way that AI, so when you look at the big LLMs, they are trained on kind of book knowledge. So what kind of knowledge is available in the internet? So they consumed and internalized the whole internet, and they are now trained on that, on all the books out there, etc. So they are on a level like a student or whatever when they finish university. But what they don't have is this very special knowledge about special tools, about special engineering or whatever. This is not really published in the internet. So the LLM maybe knows a little bit about that, maybe can think about it a little bit, but cannot fully understand thing in detail like the experts do. But now you can combine it. So you have the expert knowledge, and now you have also the capabilities of the LLM to speak natural language and go through unstructured data and find commonalities or whatever else. Now you can combine it. So this leads to an advantage, but you also need to think about how can I protect this a little bit? So keep it. So I don't want to share everything with the LLM and then tomorrow everybody has it. It's more like my expertise. How can I also kind of protect it a little bit? And then combine it with the LLM power and then build something on top. So it gives them also the opportunity to build an advantage compared to LLM stuff or AI.
Totally. That's what I meant at the beginning. So I would not recommend anybody to build an own LLM in a way, but really to customize using LLM infrastructure, which is like open source and commodity, and then adapt it with your like individual data. And there, I think that's the real USP then that you have. And the outcome is that you have this combination. You have like, you saved some time due to this, like what you do there. And then really what is, I think for the German Mittelstand, coming back to one of their key advantages, this customer relationship, you have more time really to listen to your customer, to invest in this relationship, to deepen the relationship and the trust. And there you have the help of tech enabled, whatever, what you can do there. But it's really like, yeah, you have some more time to really think about or even think about the future, think about new features in combination, listen to your customer and then like adapt it and do some product and services iteration. So this human in the loop and then feeding your tech systems.
Exactly. Yeah. So coming to a point, to the Mittelstand understands this. How could they really start? I mean, they are now maybe approached by tons of consultants companies. Hey, you need to do training for your employees. You need to work on predictive maintenance. You need to automate your processes, but now you need also to think about your business model. So there's a lot of people coming to the CEO of a company. But what would be your advice? How to start? I mean, with all the noise, how to see clearly a way forward for your company?
I think very pragmatically, but then also iterative and gradually. So identify one or two use cases, for example, and park the others, and maybe take a use case where the risk is not that high that it will fail. Because you have to convince also employees, for example. So don't go always the hard way first, also to learn, right? And then identify a use case is the first step. Then I think like best in validating a pilot in some sub segments or something, and then really think about the product and the rollout, and then just then apply for a bigger budget. So really also start small with testing with a little budget, and then really think about, yeah, like rolling out. And as I mentioned later, really first thing is the pilot, the testing, the validation, and then think about like standardization. Then the next, like integration it, and then also thinking about like the usage, then it comes to the transformation. But of course, the transformation then is the key for the success. And then a second thing, which is where they start or what they should consider, is like, how's the government? Who is taking decisions? The next thing is, how secure is our data? So where do we host the data? Where do we want this? And how is this protected? Yeah, and then the next thing, and we already talked about it, like employee education, because it's just that good how people use and apply it in their daily do work.
For me, the question is still there. With AI, we see a huge speed of how fast things are changing at the moment. So every week, new news popping up. There's a new agent system here, a new capability there. So there's a massive change. So the speed is really increasing exponentially right now. And so we also know our German Mittelstand, and they love to plan. They love to go through and make a strategy and make a plan and execute on the plan. Is there still room for a plan, or should it be? So yes, we have now a 5-year strategy, and now we can execute on the 5-year strategy. Is this still the time for that? Is it still valid to have this long-term plan, or is it kind of outdated and maybe a problem in this AI era we are entering right now? What do you think?
So I don't know if the plan is the real answer. I think what is really important, and what I realized that some companies lost it, it's like the North Star. So where do I want to navigate my company? What is my like a customer relationship? What is my real USP? And then I think you have to think about the way how to achieve this. But I think what is really important, you have this long-term vision, especially in a family-owned business. You have this long-term vision, and then you have to think about how you get there. And what we do, for example, within Bridgemaker, but also I advise a lot of companies in that, like, to have a like AI task force. So like really a few people who are really experts and who are like observing all this trend thing, what you can apply. And they also give them a budget to talk to experts, for example, and to be in this, like not reinventing everything by themselves, but talk to experts, inviting experts to that you can always redefine the way, or if there is a better systems. But as you said, right, sometimes 1 week it's this basis data lake, and then the recommendation of using just a RUC, like using an existing database, not training them. It's also like, yeah, it's so many variables which are changing there. And this is really like, yeah, I would recommend have like some people who are really trained in that and who are also like observing all this like changes in the market.
Yeah, I also say, yes, you need to have those kind of speedboats in the company, exploring and testing out things, allowing you to make failures and to maybe just to test things and learn from that, and then you can transfer the learning to the other people in the company. So for me right now, also the topic of venture building, so of kind of exploring, becomes even even more important. Of course, for a long-term vision, you need to have a clear understanding. What is my business model in the future? Well, and then I can transform into that. We also need to a bit of close our podcast today. It's a fantastic conversation. And we always close with asking our guests about advices. So what would be maybe a 1, 2, 3 advices you would like to give to the leaders listening to this podcast, to the leaders of the German Mittelstand, how to approach this new AI era?
I think the first is, and that's what we mentioned at the beginning, really think about automation is a necessity, it's a duty. So you have to do that. And then the beauty lies in beyond core, right? So really think about how can I use AI to build better products and better services in an even faster way. That's the first advice. And maybe then innovation horizons or other frameworks can help with that. But really think about like what is beyond core, what is like in a long term differentiates me from my competitor, for example. The second is what I mentioned with experts, like people from the outside, invite people who can really give you some new impulses where you can learn, where you can train, even like maybe in your advisory boards, in your family businesses, like place some or add some which are responsible for AI or innovation that you have like it in a very regular way. Third, keep an eye of your employees. What I meant with education and really applying AI tools in their daily day, because otherwise the real transformation won't be successful when it comes to AI transformation. And I think the fourth is, which is like my passion since I founded a Bridgemaker and still running Bridgemaker as CEO. It's like really how much time, always ask yourself, how much time are you thinking about the future? How much time are you investing in strategizing your future? And with AI, now you have the opportunity that you get some extra time. Due to automation, you have some time, which is new. So really think about what and where do you invest this newfound time to make your company future-proof.
Yeah, very, very good points. Resonates also very, very well with me. And I always also say to the leaders, they don't need to think too much about automation, but they can ask themselves a question like, what if you could have 100 or 1,000 more employees tomorrow for the price of one? What would you do? So this kind of thinking of like leveraging AI, building something new, because it's kind of cheap, but you can expand your capacity. But this kind of question nobody asked themselves so far. They always look at automation, but not really about what if I could do if I would have more employees at hand or whatever. And this opens a broader perspective and a broader thinking.
And maybe this is very practical, and I really like that. Maybe just have a look at your own calendar as a leader. So how much percent of my week it's when do I think about the future? When we think like, and AI, of course, applying AI technology is also part of that, is maybe on Sunday evening or Monday morning, really come to your calendar and how it looks like for the week. And maybe then reshuffle a little bit.
Exactly. Very good points. Thank you very much, Henrike, for joining. It was a fantastic conversation and very good insights.
Thank you so much for inviting.
Sure. And it's I just wanted to say it doesn't feel like we are competitors. It feels like more we are partners and helping companies becoming more successful in the future. So thank you very much for joining.
I think that's what I, maybe one last thing, because it's really, we have to think about more about collaboration than competition in every company, because then we will have a chance as Europe, for example, or German Mittelstand's company, really to think about more in ecosystems and collaboration. That's also your topic, so you can't emphasize this enough. Really work together and trust in this collaboration.
Perfect. And thank you for this. I keep it like this. Thank you very much for joining.
Thank you. Bye.